Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur 42. Ausgabe von Wein verstehen leicht gemacht vom 8. Mai 2021. Mein Name ist Florian Bold, ich bin Weinakademiker und freue mich sehr, dich zu dieser besonderen Ausgabe begrüßen zu dürfen. Ja, es ist keine normale Ausgabe, aber eben auch keine Sondersendung, sondern ich dachte mir, ich spule einfach diese besondere Aufnahme einfach in den normalen Turnus mit ein, weil es einfach so gut zum Thema passt und eine perfekte Ergänzung ist. Was ihr heute zu hören bekommt, ist ein Mitschnitt für eine Online-Weinverkostung ausschließlich für Weinakademiker und Gerhard Kracher war so freundlich und hat mir die Erlaubnis erteilt, von seinem Tasting einen Mitschnitt zu machen und dann als Podcast-Folge zu veröffentlichen. An dieser Stelle also mein ganz herzlicher Dank an Gerhard Kracher, der Top-Winzer, wenn es um österreichischen Süßwein geht. Kracher ist beheimatet im Burgenland in dem Örtchen Ilmitz, das auch östlich vom Neusiedler See liegt und damit in unmittelbarer Nachbarschaft von Golz und Paul Ax. Wir haben insgesamt in dieser Verkostung 6 Süßweine in aufsteigender Qualität und Süße verkostet. Diese Weine sind alle durchweg extrem lecker und man muss sie einfach auch probiert haben, wenn man sich mit österreichischen Wein beschäftigen möchte. Ein kleiner Wermutstropfen für alle, die nicht im Englischen mächtig sind. Da bitte ich um Entschuldigung, aber wegen dem internationalen Publikum ist diese Verkostung auf Englisch abgehalten worden. Da vielleicht ein paar Quick Facts zuvor, was wir in dem Rahmen der Verkostungen gelernt haben. Zunächst einmal sind die Reben zwischen 0 und 61 Jahre alt. Die Weine waren, wenn es sich um Bärenauslese und Trockenbärenauslese handelt, alle im Holzfass. Eine BSA wird in keinem der Weine durchgeführt, weil in aller Regel die Lese so spät stattfindet, dass sich keinerlei Apfelsäure mehr in den Weintrauben befindet. Und dann kam noch die Frage auf für die besten Jahrgänge der letzten Jahrzehnte. Da gab es in den letzten Jahrzehnten fast keinen, der nicht dazu zählt. Aber Gerhard meinte, zu seinen besten Jahrgängen zählt er 2017, 2015, 2010, 2008, 2004, 2002, 98, 95, 90, 86, 81 und auch mein Geburtsjahrgang 76 und last but not least 1959. Ja, die Weine haben natürlich eh alle ein biblisches Alter vor sich. Sie reifen hervorragend und müssen auch nicht so jung getrunken werden, wie es wir in dieser Verkostung gemacht haben. Da waren die meisten Weine aus 17, was im Augenblick für die meisten Weine auch der aktuelle Jahrgang ist. Ein kleiner Hinweis, die Audioqualität ist nicht die allerbeste, ich hoffe das zu entschuldigen und der liebe arme Gerhard hat sich dann auch zusätzlich zu seiner Erkältung, die man an der einen oder anderen Stelle hört, auch noch verschluckt, sodass ich ein bisschen was rausschneiden musste von seinem Husten und Verschlucken, aber ich hoffe, ich habe es einigermaßen hinbekommen. Und wünsche euch nun viel Spaß beim Zuhören dieser Verkostung.
We will start with the wine, the first wine that everybody is informed. Please open all the wines right now. The wines need a little bit of air. I mean, they were basically rebottled from big bottles into the small ones, so they had a little bit of air at that point, but also for the sweet wine, especially for ours, they need some air to develop. My recommended glass is a white wine glass because all the wines are young, and for young sweet wines, I prefer like universal glasses like this, the Gabriel glass, or like Riesling glass from Riedel, which is also nice, or the Chianti glass from Riedel, all good. For riper sweet wines with 15, 20 years plus of age, I personally like the Riedel Sauternes Sommelier glass. This is the shape like a turned around drop. And especially for aged sweet wines, this is a wonderful glass. Okay, so let's start. I'm very happy that you all joined us for that tasting, going through the Botrytis world. Here in the back of myself, you see a wonderful picture of a Botrytis, a bunch of Botrytis berries, which we can't see outside in nature right now because it's a little bit too early. That will start in mid of October. But this looks really perfect. This is how it should be. You see this gray fungus on the berries. And this is like perfect. This is how it should be. And Botrytis is a fungus, also called noble rot. Noble rot because it's the most noble form of concentration in the winemaking process. It's a natural thing, and it's only happening on a yearly basis. Like every year in four areas in the world, it's Sauternes in France, it's the Mosel in Germany, it's Tokaj in Hungary, and here at the Lake Nagy-Lesi. And there it's happening really on a regular basis. And in all of these areas, except of ours, there are sometimes vintages where you can't produce. Here, since the history started of our winery, which is 60 years now, it has never happened that there was no Botrytis, and it has never happened that we couldn't produce up to the highest quality, to the Trockenbeerenauslese, short form TBA. And this is very unique. And I hope it will never happen that we can't produce, but until now, it looks good. Here's a question, what's the best temperature for the sweet wines? I always serve them like white wines, especially in summer, very cold, like 5-6 degrees from the fridge because they are warming up. When I drink them then they have like 11, 12, 13 degrees at least because they are warming up in the glass. And for tasting, I like around 15 degrees because then the wine shows its full structure. When it's too cold, all the smells and the taste are hidden a little bit. And so between 12 and 15 degrees, I would say, is the perfect temperature. So we are starting now with Spätlese Cuvée 2017. I'd like to start now with that before I go on with history of our winery, because then we have something in our glasses and everybody is thirsty, thirsty, including me. And we want to drink something before we keep on serious talk. So Spätlese, translated late harvest, is the entry level of the Botrytis wines. There's a lot of Spätlese produced without Botrytis. In our winery, always has between, depending on the vintage, between 5 and 15% of Botrytis. I always love to have some Botrytis inside because the tasting profile is more intense with Botrytis. And that's why I like to have in our Spätlese, produced from our winery, the style with Botrytis. I love this very nice nose of wild growing flowers. We're living in the middle of a national park, and the season of the flowering of the little flowers has started now, and it's exactly the smell which you have outside there at the moment. So spring is here already. Today we had 20 degrees Celsius, which is very nice. I appreciate that much more than winter. A little bit of apricot in the nose. The varieties is Pinot Blanc, Chardonnay, and about 10% of Welsh Riesling. Here's a question of free sulfur and total sulfur amount in Spätlese. Free sulfur at bottling is around 50. Total sulfur amount 2017, around 170, 180. Now we taste the wine. The wine has about 60 grams of residual sugar. And when we taste now, there's again this flowery character in the front. We have some citric fruit aromas. We have some apricot. We have some peach, white peach, fresh white peach, apple, pear. And the finish is not really sweet. I mean, 60 grams is quite a lot. But the finish, there's some saltiness, there's some spiciness, there's some herbals. And I personally love this wine for Asian food, for spicy food. Not too spicy, just on the starting style, because it fits very well to that. I like it at the moment. It's the starting season for asparagus, marinated asparagus. With the Spätlese is fantastic. And the best way is in the afternoon on a terrace, just drink it as it is. It's it has this nice drinking flow. It makes your mouth want a glass more. It's a wine for fun, very enjoyable. Here's a question. The special soils around the lake have an impact on botrytis development besides the climate. Well, it's for botrytis, it's a mixture of everything. It needs to have the perfect climate, plus the soils need to be right for the wines to grow in a perfect way, because and botrytis is very weather sensitive. That means if we don't have the right weather, it doesn't work that good. The soil is more more to the plants, that they can develop perfect. And without having the grapes developed perfectly until botrytis arrive, it doesn't work. I mean, it works. There will be botrytis. But if it's too early, you have green rot. And that's tasting ugly. And you have to know that the botrytis, like I showed you here on the back picture, which is perfect botrytis, the real botrytis does not have its own real taste like written in many school books. There is written like bready, fungus taste, moldy taste. No. The perfect botrytis, what it does is concentrating the components which are in the grapes anyways, plus, what it gives as an extra, if I have to mention something, it's this kind of, this candy changer finish in the end. And it brings out the saltiness a little bit more. And that means it makes more harmony. This moldy taste, fungus taste, which is written in many books, this is the wrong botrytis. Botrytis is very sensitive, as I said. And we have, for each vineyard, from 2 to 5 different selections for each vineyard, for each plot. Because botrytis does not come to every grape variety, not to every vineyard, not to every berry at the same time. So we make a selection. We harvest the botrytis grapes, leave the healthy ones outside and wait until the next botrytis comes. We could also wait until everything's botrytis and then harvest all in once. But as said, botrytis is sensitive. On a certain time, it dies when it's there. If there is too much weather influences like rain or cold or wind or whatever. And then it gets from that nice shiny gray into dark gray and black. And then it's dead. And then the taste is very broad and not very pleasant. And these are the sweet wines, which are just sweet and nothing else. And this is not the target of us. We want to have sweet wines which are shiny, which present their fruit. Where when we do single varieties, when you see that, which you will see afterwards, they are clear on their grape variety. And this freshness, we want to have that. And the most important for a great wine is having a certain harmony. Doesn't matter if white, red, or sweet. Harmony has to be there. And it doesn't matter on analytics. A wine can have 16 alcohol, for example, a red wine, and it tastes fantastic, and you don't feel it. A wine can have 5 alcohol, and it tastes fantastic. A wine can have 600 grams of sugar, and it's not cloying. And that's the point what I wanted to say with that. And you will see in all the portfolio we have today, we go up to 240 grams of residual sugar. And you will see all these wines are vibrant. All these wines are fresh. And that's the important point. Here is another comment. The fresh acid comes from the Welsh Riesling. Yes, part of it. The acidity is not very high. We are here on about 6.2 or 6.3. But the salty herbal components in the back, that makes your mouth feel acidic. And we are a very warm area. I don't want to hide that. So we get full ripeness, and that's nice. But we have our soils. And we live in the middle of a national park, and we have all this water. We have the Lake Neusiedlersee, big lake, very shallow, which brings us a lot of humidity. And we have a lot of small lakes around our village, between our vineyards, very shallow. And all this water has very, very high content of salt and minerals. And as the lake was until a couple of thousand years ago, 10 times bigger than now, it moved back very slowly, and near the lowest part around the lake, all these salty mineralic components are in our soil. And the plant takes everything from the soil and gives it to the berry. And when I have done my job somehow right, it's also showing you the wine. And that's our big advantage where we live. And that's also a part why Illmitz is the heart of botrytis wine production in Austria. Illmitz, my hometown, for them who don't know. It's on the east end of Lake Neusiedlersee. And we have two components, mostly influencing by weather, by microclimate, which is one part the big lake, and the other part, all the small lakes, around 20, around our village and in between our vineyards. Then we have the third component for the taste of our wine, which is our soils. Half of our crews are standing on gravelly soil with dark soil, a mixture, and the other half is mostly sandy soil, which is really next to the lake. And all this soil is full of this saltiness and of minerals, and that makes that vibrant finish. And that makes our wines, even when they are full ripe, when they are high in sugar, sometimes even high in alcohol, these components makes the wines very vibrant. Another question, do older wines produce better sweet wines? Yes. I mean, our range of vineyards age is from 0 up to 61 years. The oldest vineyards are 61 years. And sure, the older the vineyards, the less quantity they produce. And the deeper the roots go, and the more intense the berries taste. That's definitely true. And what we see, I mean, I'm working in the winery since 2001, and what I've seen that the older the age of the vines, the higher the quality. Doesn't mean the higher the sugar level which comes out at the end. It's just the profile. The profile is deeper in the older vineyards. So the last wine we will taste today, which is a wine from our collection series, which is the highest quality we produce. And for this collection series, 100% of the wines selected for that, the past 20 years came out of vineyards which were 35 years or older. So definitely it makes sense. So now let's go to the next wine. If there is no question anymore about the Spätlese, if there is, you can also ask later. It's no problem. I hope you enjoyed it. That made our mouse now ready for the highest sweet one. So next wine is Tamina Auslese. Auslese translated selection. That's a little bit more of botrytis than in the Spätlese. So we are here on, depending on the vintage, between 20 and 40%. We are here on 95 grams of Rischidler sugar. Tramina is a very nice variety, which I love personally very much. This wine especially, I love to serve as a starter for bigger menus, which I do sometimes at home, not right now because of Corona, but in usual times. And there I love to serve foie gras as a pâté, or even chicken liver pâté, or grilled foie gras. And it's a fantastic match. When you smell in this roses flavors, beautiful. In your mouth, again, roses, a lot of herbals, Nelken. I don't know what Nelken means in English. If somebody knows it, please write it into the chat. Oh, cloves. Thank you. Oh, there's the question. Is it Gewürztraminer? No, it's not. The Traminer existing mostly in our area is called red Traminer and a little bit of yellow Traminer, which are all in the family of Traminer. So they are a little bit of similar by taste to the Gewürztraminer. The red Traminer, which we use, has a little bit more tannins, which I really like on Traminer, because in this wine, when you taste it, the finish, there is not only the saltiness fighting with the sweetness, there's also the tannins, which makes it even more attractive. This herbal finish, it's really long, it's a never-ending finish. And then the fruit component comes again. There's a little bit of white pear at the end. And we use red Traminer as said. And red Traminer has a little bit like reddish skins, not really like rosé skins. A little bit like Pinot Gris or actually Chasselas. The Chasselas with the red skins, that's actually looking by color like the red Traminer. Here's another question. If it has more acidity than the Gewürz, no, all or actually most of the Traminer varieties are very low in acidity, so is the red Traminer. We are here on about 5.5 or 5.6 acidity, so quite low. And here in this wine especially, you can see how much this salty and mineraly component helps to keep that wine fresh. You know, in Corona times, I also developed some new things to taste with sweet wine or to eat with sweet wine. It's, you know, everybody in Corona watched more TV than usual, also me. So, yeah, I watched a lot of TV and I drank always sweet wine with my TV shows or movies, and I needed something to eat with it. Salted popcorn. The saltiness of the popcorn with the sweet wine, it's fantastic. It's a perfect match. You're sitting there, sipping your sweet wine, eating some salted popcorn. So it's a very easy thing, but very pleasuring. I liked it really a lot. How much RS is in the Traminer? 95 grams residual sugar. Got a hint of spiciness. Yes, very typical for the Traminer, the spiciness, the herbals in the finish. Makes it pleasant, makes it even easier for food pairings. I wouldn't even pair sweet things with it. I would prefer like pies, vegetable pies. I would eat some duck with it. Again, marinated asparagus, marinated vegetables. I think that's nice matches with that. Even fish, if it's seasoned in the right way, if it's seasoned a little bit more on the Asian side, this wine works very well with it. So now we are coming to the next level. We are coming to Bärenauslese. Bärenauslese translated berry selection. We are drinking now a red version out of Zweigelt. And Zweigelt is the most common red variety here in northern Burgenland. It's a crossing of Blaufränkisch and Saint-Laurent. So also two local varieties. It was founded in the 1920s, if I'm right, by Dr. Zweigelt. And this variety works very well on our soils and with our climate, and even with botrytis. And I personally like botrytis red wines a lot, because I like dark chocolate, and red sweet wines work perfect with it. I also like to have grilled foie gras, and when you make afterwards a sauce of red berries with it, that's beautiful. And when you smell in this wine, very nice nose of very ripe plums or dried plums. Cherries, sour cherries in your mouth. Again, cherries, now fresh plums. A little bit of fig. Then you have this in the finish, before the finish, you have like this tiny little wild-growing strawberry flavors. Very beautiful. And then in the finish, you have the tannins, then the saltiness, a little bit of herbals. Very intense. A lot of red wine character, but still a lot of freshness. We are here on 140 grams of sugar, so quite high for a BA. There is a question. I have some moldiness and some light corkiness. Normal? No, not normal. Sorry. The problem is on sweet wines, we tasted before rebottling every bottle. But sometimes the sugar in the beginning, when you just open it, the cork is hiding a lot and coming out then with air. So I'm very, very sorry about that. But yeah, corks are also happening with sweet wines. Sorry for that. I want to say a little bit of info to our winery. As said before, we are 60 years old now, or 61 years. I'm the third generation here in the winery. It was founded by my grandfather. Since 1959, we are a real winery. It was existing before as a small mixed farming place with a few rootstocks of wine. And my grandfather always had the dream of being a winemaker, but couldn't afford to do so. And so it took him 15 years from 1945 to 1959 to transform that small mixed farming place into a winery. And already in the beginning, he focused on sweet wines because he saw the potential of the area. He saw that with the special microclimate, immediately he could make fantastic wines if he's focusing on sweet wines. In our winery, there was always also a small part for dry wine production since the beginning. So it's depending on the vintage between 65 and 75% is used for sweet wines and just 15 to 25% to dry wines because we get a fantastic ripeness here. And botrytis is coming ideally at the point when the grapes are ripe to overripe. So at the point or a little bit after the harvest for dry wines. So it looks also nice for the dry wines, but our focus was always the sweet wines because we live in such a special area, and I think we always used disadvantage what we have because it makes us very unique. The acidity in the wine is about 6. It's a little bit of licorice in the finish. Yes, that's true. It's coming a little bit like liquor. That's also a thing I like very much. It reminds a little bit on this porty characteristics. How about the markets for sweet wines? We are working in 60 markets now. So we're distributed around the world. Sweet wine is the niche of the niche of the niche in the markets. On one hand, the concurrence is much less than producing a red wine, because with a red wine or with a white wine, you're conquering with all over the world. With sweet wine on the world market, you have maybe 5, 6, maybe 10 which are conquering with you. And so until now, it works quite well for us, which I'm very happy and thankful about. But I know that the sweet wine market is very, very tiny, and if you want to be part of it, you always have to see that you are in the top range and that you are the one selected for the wine lists. Because as we all know, wine lists are shrinking, and I fear after Corona that will be even more. And like 15, 20 years ago, restaurants had 3, 4 sweet wines by the glass. Now they have 1 or 2, maximum 2. And if only 1 sometimes, if even. And it's always a thing that you are the one being that on the list. Or also sweet wines by the bottle. It's offered very seldom in restaurants, especially not in casual restaurants. In high-end restaurants, yes. In casual restaurants, they have 1 or 2 different. And it's always the thing that you are the one that is offered. That's the point. There's another thing. Unusual taste for sweet wine in the best sense. I found some meaty, bloody aromas, finished some dust. Thank you very much. Oh, eating salty peanuts with it. Fantastic match. I can imagine that. Very good. I will do that on the weekend. Never did that, actually. So now we move on to the white version, Björn Åsli's. Just stop with my grandfather's history. So my grandfather started the winery and ran it until 1981. And then my father took over. And my father had a different vision for the winery. From the beginning on, he said, there will be the day when Krakow wine can't be missed on an international great wine list. And when he said that in the 80s, nobody knew us, and everybody was laughing at him and said, this guy is completely insane. No one's interested in Austrian wine, and nobody knows Krakow, and no one cares. We're still working on it, but we're getting nearer. So we are in 60 countries, but I think it will take two more generations to fulfill my father's wish completely. But he made the winery world famous because he started to point out that Austria can produce high-quality wines, especially high-quality sweet wines. And he traveled the world and showed to people that it's possible to make fantastic wines here. And I'm very thankful for that because, I mean, my father died in 2007. And since that, I'm running the winery. And so I could build on a profound structure. When I started, which helped for sure a lot. What used to be the bottle sizes back then? In my grandfather's time, it was mostly also 375, about half actually, half 375, and the rest was 0.75, so the full bottle was more common. Nowadays, it's for sweet wines, it's mostly 375. Sometimes they used also 0.5 liters because there was always a lack of bottles, so they used what they could get. So now we are coming to the Björn Åsli's Cuvée 2017. This is our most important, most famous wine. This is the wine sold in a lot of restaurants around the world by the glass because it's a fantastic dessert all-rounder. It has the structure and the body and the sweetness to work with extreme desserts like crème brûlée, New York cheesecake, or on the other side, like époisse, which is very extreme. Sorry, but it has the freshness, the fruitiness, and the acidity to work also with lighter desserts. So it fits to like 95% of desserts you can imagine. It's a blend of our main varieties, Welschriesling and Chardonnay. Chardonnay for the power and for the citric aromas, Welschriesling for this quince aromas, apple, pear, honey melon. And these two varieties together make for us a perfect harmony. This wine has now 135 grams of sugar. And 17 was a fantastic vintage, and it's one of the best rated BAs we ever had. It's just got recently from Decanter the Platinum Award and 97 points, had 95 points at Parker, and so on and so on. So, I mean, it's very often said that ratings are not that interesting and not that important anymore. I always say when I get a nice rating, it always puts a smile on my face because everybody likes it when his work is admired by somebody. And if somebody says, this is fantastic. So I personally only can say I love these ratings because when they're good, I'm happy. On the other hand, if I get a bad rating, I'm very sad and... yeah, when you meet me then, you shouldn't talk to me for the next 5 days. So so it's also a bad thing on it. But until now, our ratings were always good, so I feel happy. There's a question, how much bottles are produced on the Björn Åsli? So that depends extremely on the vintage. We work with nature, and we work with a lot of influences of nature. So it's like this. So 2017 was one of the greatest vintages for sweet wine, and especially for the category of Björn Åsli we ever had. And we are already on 2018 now, so I can't remember the exact number, but it must have been around 80 to 90,000 house bottles of that wine. But for example, the previous vintage, 2016, was very small. And because of the frost, so we lost a lot due to spring frost, and they reproduced only 25,000. So there's a big variation within the vintages. Oh, here you have this beautiful smell of fresh cut, very ripe quince. I love this smell. It's very typical for the Welsh Riesling, combined with a little bit of citric aromas. That's from the Chardonnay. When you taste it, you have again quince, honey melon, very ripe pear, and then the finish, you have this pure saltiness, little bit of ginger spice, very long, a little bit of herbal spices. I think this wine has fantastic harmony right now and can age for another 20, 30, 40 years. Here is another question. Did you lose anything due to frost this year so far? No, we were really, really lucky so far. When it was freezing in most of other parts in Europe, here it didn't. So we were really lucky. But, you know, it still can happen. We have to worry until like second week of May. At the moment, the forecast says that everything's good. But as we all know, that can change very, very fast. There is another question. Can you name the best vintages in the past? Yeah. So the best vintages in the past was starting with the regular vintage right now, which is 2017, which was really fantastic. 2015. Then I'm just talking about quality, never quantity by best vintages. 2010. Before that, there was a row of fantastic vintages. 2008, 7, 6, 5, 4. This was fantastic. So it was five vintages in follow, which were near to perfection. This was really, really great. And before that, 2002 was fantastic. 98, 95, 94, 90. Before that, 86, 81, which was my first vintage, which was really fantastic. I'm very happy because everything else in 81 is not really that good except sweet wine, port, and champagne. That was it. Everything else is not so... And before that, 76, 69, 59. So next question is 2007 the actual vintage. Yes, it is. 2018 will for the BA will follow soon, I think in June or July. And for the TBAs, it will be in September. Now, there's a comment. The ginger is really amazing. Yeah, I loved it a lot. Balances that wine so much and makes it so interesting. And it makes it, I mean, you have to think it's 135 grams of sugar and the finish is still not sweet. It's beautiful. It's I like that spicy, salty acidity fighting with each other and the sweetness for sure fighting with each other in the mouth. And I think that makes these wines so special and it's something which makes it unique. So next wine, now we go to Trockenbeerenauslese. We have now the Noble Reserve, non-vintage. This we produced since about 15 years. The idea behind was like a non-vintage champagne. Having a wine which is always on the same level. And that's working best by blending different vintages and releasing it when we think it's at the best point to drink right now, but can also age another 20, 30 years. Sorry. And I just have to look at the number on the back to see what it is. Yeah. So the main part on this wine, which we have now, is 2017, which is about 70%. Then there is about 10% of 2018 to give more freshness. Then there is about 10% of 2015 for the aging. And then there is a few barrels, a few percentages, which is back to 10 years age. Sorry, in barrel. And I think that keeps that wine that harmonic taste. So now let's taste. I mean, the varieties are Chardonnay and Welsh Riesling, plus 5% of Tramina. The Tramina to give a little bit more of this exotic flavors. Chardonnay, Welsh Riesling, and 5% Tramina. So here we are on 190 grams of sugar. Quite high. And again, with the saltiness, spiciness, the floral flavors. There's also some flavors of cinnamon and some Christmas bakery. Acidity level is here a little bit higher. We're here on 8.5. How about oak? All the wine was in oak, 100%. It's about 70% new oak, 30% 2 to 3 times used. This beautiful, slightly smoky, little bit of coconut flavor in the nose, which I like a lot. And yes, all French oak. So I hope you like it so far, because now we are coming to the highest level, to our collection wines. And today we have the 2017 Grand Cuvée. Blend of Chardonnay and Welsh Riesling. Number 6, the number, because our collection wines, sorry, we have all these different varieties, and sometimes from one variety, 2 or even 3 versions, because the characteristics are so different. And the higher the number, the higher the concentration. Each vintage numbered new, starting from 1 up to whatever how many we could do. In 2017, it was 10 different wines. In, for example, 2016, only 3. In 95, it was 15 different wines. So it's always depending on the higher the number, the higher the concentration. Does not mean the better the wine. And this wine has to be the Welsh Riesling part in 1,000 liter cask, Slavonian oak, and the Chardonnay part in new French oak. For about 2 years. There's a question if the combination of Chardonnay and Welsh Riesling was known before, or if it's an invention by us. It was an invention by us, actually. We do that since, sorry, since end of the 80s. So, yeah, it's more than 30 years. Here we are on 240 grams of sugar. So now I took a sip and my coughing is better. Fantastic. Well, try this helps. And here we have this this beautiful harmony again. 240 grams of sugar. When you smell in, you have a little bit of this butterscotch, milk caramel flavor, sweet coconut, a little bit of smokiness. When you taste it, if again from this Welsh Riesling, very clear and very pure, this quince, but now in a cooked version, a little bit of pineapple from the Chardonnay, and you have again this very ripe or cooked apple. That's more from the Welsh Riesling. And then the spice in the finish, it's beautiful. And then there comes again, in the aftertaste, there comes again the pineapple and apricot, fresh apricot. And there's a comment, sweet wine used to be medicine. Yes, it's true. In more than 100 years ago, when the first operation were made or when people were really ill, they gave them sweet wine. Because everything's full concentrated, all minerals, all vitamins. Plus with the sugar, it helps to recover the body. It helps to gain a little bit of weight for the people. And the botrytis is related to the penicillin. And when you have a flu, like I have right now, I drink every day before I go to bed a nice glass of high concentrated TBA, and it really works. It just got worse right now because before, like 10 minutes ago, when I took a sip, it ran through the wrong line. I have a little bit of flu already. That's not that good. But now it's good again. Can you comment on MLF on sweet wines? What is MLF? Oh, ha, BSA. Yeah, sure. Malolactic fermentation, sure. There is no malolactic on sweet wines because the harvest is so late that there is no apple acidity or just tiny bit of apple acidity left, which could be turned into milk acidity. So basically, it can't happen because it's not there. It's it could maybe on a Spätlese, but I actually never checked if there is apple acidity in a Spätlese. But I know definitely that in the BA and TBAs, because it's harvested so ripe and so late that there is no apple acidity left in the berry or very tiny, so it can't happen. So any questions left? If you have more questions, please do not hesitate to ask. I hope you enjoyed the tasting as much as I did. Oh, there's a comment, figs, dates, and tobacco. Yes, very much in this wine. And the more air it gets, the more that comes out. Size of the barrels for the Grand Cuvée, the Welsh Riesling part, 1,000 liter. And the Chardonnay part, 225 barriques. How about fermentation? In which cases you stop and in which cases it stops itself? Yeah, for Spätlese and Auslese, we have to stop. We stop with cold and sulfur, and then racking a couple of times. For the lower BAs, we have to stop too with cold and sulfur. For higher BAs and the TBAs, it stops by itself. And we are happy when it even reaches a certain percentage of alcohol. Is stuck fermentation a common issue to the high sugar level? Yes, it happens, definitely. Stuck. When it stops, it stops. I don't care if a wine has 5 alcohol, 10 alcohol, or 15 alcohol. It's all about the harmony. And if the wine is harmonic with 5, I don't care if it stopped. I'm fine with it. And we even made wines which are not allowed to be called wines because they are below 5 alcohol, which happened last time in 2015. A wine with only 3 or 3.5 alcohol, which is not allowed to be called wine. We have to name it partially fermented grape must, which sounds stupid. And but it's how it needs to be named. But it tastes fantastic. Do you use them also in BA and Auslese? What? You mean barrels? In Auslese, no. In Spätlese, no. In BA, it's always depending on the vintage. There's 10 to 15% of barrel fermented, barrique barrel fermented aged wines in the blend, which you can't really feel by tasting. But it gives a little bit of a certain better structure in the end. Can you talk about the fermentation? Yeah, the fermentation, it's all natural, all spontaneous. It's not because I think it's better than added yeast or it's something special. No, it just worked for the past 3,000 years, so why shouldn't it work now? And in our cellars, in the past 60 years, we never did something else. I did some tests from 2002 to 2010, always from the same vineyard, same pressing, made two tanks, one in our regular cellar with spontaneous fermentation and one in a different cellar with added yeast. And we bottled both wines, and still when I'm tasting it, but it would serve me this 16 wines blind. I couldn't tell which is natural yeast and which is added yeast. And in some vintages, this was better, in some vintages that. But the problem is you don't know before you start what will be better. So yeah, it smells good. I just don't use it on a regular basis, or even we never use it in my cellar because there is nothing to fix which isn't broken. So if it works naturally, I'm fine with it. Yeah, and there is one saying which I like. Remember that we should drink sweet wines more often. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And especially, you know, the finish of every fantastic meal should be a glass of sweet wine with a nice dessert. It's a big tradition, and it's also something which is pleasuring a lot. And sometimes we really forget doing that. And I think we should do more often. And like the Italians, they call these wines vini meditazione, which sounds much nicer than like we say sweet wine, which is boring. But vini meditazione, that's fantastic. And sometimes I use it as a meditation wine. When you had a day with 15, 16, 17 hours of work and everything went wrong, we all know how that is, and you come home totally pissed, open a bottle of that wine, drink it, and we'll see. I swear, when the bottle is finished, everything looks much different. Because, you know, your brain reacts to nice flavors and nice tastes, and this is positive. And so it also works with your brain. So is there a special Kraka style compared to other sweet wine producers in your region? It is said that our style is unique. We never really said that, but it's said by a lot of professionals. And I always love to hear that because it makes our wines unique. And I'm getting very often asked what we are doing different to others. And to be honest, I don't have a real answer. I don't know. We do a lot of our vineyard work and cellar work by feeling, in this sense, three generations. And as it looks, it works really good. So it's fine. Sulfur in wine is, that's a usual thing. And it's less than in dried fruits. So, yeah, a certain amount of sulfur, I think it doesn't really harm the body. It's, it's something which is used since 3,000 years. And I don't want to taste my own wine being bottled without sulfur and be in the bottle then for 5 or 6 years. I think it wouldn't be as good as I wanted them to be. There is more in sweet wines or not? Yes, and regularly as total sulfur, there is a bit more in like in dry wines. But to the body, when there is 33 sulfur or 53 sulfur, it doesn't matter to the body. It makes no difference. The level is much below the level stated in the law. Yes, we are far below as stated in the law. The law level for sweet wine is 400. And we are, depending on the vintage, depending on the wine, between 150 and 250. Very, very seldom we go up to 300, but that's happening maybe with one wine in 10 years. So we are very far below. I wouldn't mind if it would be 400 in total. I wouldn't care because it makes no big difference if it's 250 or 400 total sulfur. But we give the wine as much as it needs and not more and not less. So that's the point. And, our wines are regularly four sweet wines, very stable anyways, which I also don't know why, but it is as it is. I've never analyzed that really proper, why that is that way. But what's the level of volatile acidity? Depends on the concentration. In the last two wines, in the TBAs, on a regular basis, it's between 1.5 and 2. On the BA, it's about 1.1 to 1.5. In the Auslese, it's even below 1. On the Spätlese, it's 0.6, if I remember right. So I hope you all have enjoyed that beautiful sweet wine tasting. I hope I could bring you Botrytis wines a little bit nearer. And I would love to see you all when things are open again Here in the winery, it's a beautiful place. For them who haven't been here, you're all invited. Be my guest. If you have more questions which come to your mind afterwards, do not hesitate to contact me. Via email is the easiest. Just write me a message and I'm happy to answer it. So thanks a lot and stay healthy and hope to see you guys soon in real life.
So, meine lieben Hörer, das war's schon wieder mit einem sehr informativen und vor allem leckeren Rundflug über österreichische Süßweine vom Neusiedler See. Ich hoffe, ihr konntet trotz der schlechten Audioqualität oder des Rausschneidens von Gerhards Hustern einiges mitnehmen. Ich kann euch die Weine, wie gesagt, nur ans Herz legen. Sehr spannend, sehr lecker, zumindest wenn es sich bei dir um eine Süßweintante wie bei mir handelt. Ja, dann bleibt mir immer noch zum Abschluss die Aufforderung, den Wunsch, die Bitte, wie immer ihr es auch nennen möchtet, hinterlasst bitte bei iTunes und Spotify eine Bewertung für meinen Podcast. Damit profitieren wir alle von einer wachsenden Community. Das ist auch das Stichwort, nochmal meine Facebook-Gruppe anzusprechen mit gleichen Namen. Wein verstehen leicht gemacht. Mittlerweile knapp 300 Leute, der richtige Ort für dich, um Neuigkeiten, News und Angebote rundum aus der Welt von Wein verstehen leicht gemacht. Ja, die nächste Episode ist dann WVLG 34 vom 29. Mai. Dort werde ich euch auch dann das versprochene Interview mit einer österreichischen Winzerin, Marion Ebner-Ebenauer, präsentieren. Die hat auch schon 6 leckere Weine an mich geschickt, worauf ich mich sehr freue. Diese Weine zählen auch zu der ganz vorderen Spitze aus dem Weinviertel. Das soll es gewesen sein. Wenn ihr Hörerfragen habt, werdet sie los oder stellt sie auf Clubhouse. Dort habe ich mich jetzt dafür entschieden, eine geringere Frequenz zu fahren. Das soll heißen, jeden zweiten Dienstag nach der Episode, ich werde es aber dann auch nochmal auf Facebook und Instagram ankündigen, gibt's alle 3 Wochen dann einen Clubhouse-Raum von mir für euch Hörer oder alle Weininteressierten. Wie gesagt, den Termin braucht ihr euch nicht merken, den erfahrt ihr nochmal angekündigt, aber jeder zweite Dienstag nach einer Podcast-Episode. So, das war's für heute. Ich wünsche euch wie immer Gesundheit, leckere Weine im Glas. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Ciao, Servus, euer Frank.